Season 2, Episode number 31. You want to travel solo, but you're afraid to be alone. Welcome to another edition of the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. Today, I'm bringing you another edition of Flyer Girl Talk. Every week, you navigate with Nina, your host for today's show. I'm going to maintain my Keep It 100 style when it comes to road-tested travel tips, advice, and of course, unfiltered opinions about travel. Remember, Nina does not do domestic, and she's not a backpacker. She avoids hostels, and she reps that bad and bougie travel experience for those who enjoy a five-star vacation for less. And if you have the same travel feels, you're in the right place. 32 countries later, get my read on my travel style, destination deets, trip ideas, and helpful tips that are not always easy to find on your own. Go ahead and press the subscribe button on your mobile and put this show on lock to get the inside dish on this Flyer Girl's travel truths. How many times have you said or want to say, I get to do whatever I want? You start doing the solo thing because you gladly will get on a plane and just go. And frankly, I think the catalyst for it all is you just get tired of missing out because of the gazillion reasons why your friends have backed out and can't make it. Also, you shouldn't let fear of all things hold you back because there really isn't nothing to fear. So I'm going to go into many reasons why there's nothing to fear and my own personal testimony about traveling solo. So for me, it all started with business travel, which was ideal. I did have the fear factor. I remember my boss at the time saying to me, Nina, you need to travel to Europe for work. And I just looked at him like, boom, like what? Anyway, that was the tipping point. I think I was in my mid to late 20s. And I was probably the first among all my friends to be doing that for a living. I had already had been doing it domestically in my current role. I was not home 3/4 of the month. So I was used to living out of a suitcase, being in hotels, being on the concierge level of a hotel, just learning the ins and outs of travel from then. And then when I had to go to Europe, that just kind of opened the floodgates to my travel as a hobby, whether it was leisure or business. So that is how I learned to do it by myself. And I say this because fear is natural. Fear is totally natural. Whether you are a first timer or seasoned traveler, you're always going to have it. You're always going to have it when you go to a new city where you don't speak the language. Maybe you look different compared to the masses. Maybe you're just not familiar with that culture. You're always going to have some element of it, but it's all about overcoming the fear and doing the solo thing, mainly because of the freedom to do what you want, when you want, which is so priceless when you have traveled in groups, when you have traveled in twos, threes, fours, or bigger groups. And having just recently come off a solo trip in June, it really reminded me to rethink my travel style all over again. And trust me, when you get enough guts to travel solo, you'll always want to do it at least once a year. It's very addicting because, look, it's all about your freedom. Traveling alone is probably not for everyone, though, because there are some people out there who want to sit next to you on a flight. They need to have the same itinerary as you, or they just don't know their left hand from their right hand and they get overwhelmed when they travel. For them, it's sensory overload. In a bad way. For you, you get excited with all the sensory overload, but they need your company while traveling. So for those of you who need someone by your side, you are going to be in forever wait mode, meaning you'll miss out on exploring this beautiful world, and time waits for no one. Let's keep it 100. See the world And don't wait on folks to get their act together. But however, there is a friendship protocol. You would love to have the company, but when you ask your circle, you know, they're all excited at first to go, and they're like, yeah. And then when you really pin down a date when you want to go, and maybe they're on the surface interested, but internally they're not showing that they can't do it or don't want to do it or don't know the place you're talking about, never heard of it, that's when you never hear back from them. But you've got to do the right thing. You've got to extend the invitation. And this is what I call the friendship protocol, which is asking one or two friends just as a kind gesture, but they do have 48 hours or less to decide. Then you know what you do? You move on with your own plans and you don't mention it again. And then poof, then your pictures appear on social media and they're like, oh, they have travel envy. You are your own best company. I travel with friends, best friends, not family, but I will go out and do my own different things. Why? Because you are on your own schedule, your own time. It's your own journey. And traveling solo forces you out of that comfort zone. You meet people of other cultures rather than just staying in a group of people that you already known, have known, been knowing all your lives or most of it. So you learn who you are, your weaknesses, and your strengths. So traveling solo teaches you how to survive when you're away from the norm. And it heightens on a personal level, it heightens your independence and your self-confidence. So again, if you're ready to like take it to the next level on a personal level, professional level, just growth, mindfulness, peacefulness, solo travel allows you to do exactly that, to achieve all of that. With not having to feel pushed to consider anyone else. You're moving at your own pace. And you know what? No one is waiting on someone to get up, get ready to enjoy the day. You're always looking forward to being free.
I'm free.
So in this episode, you're going to learn about the pluses and minuses of solo travel. And I'm talking about the freedom solo travel has to offer, ranging from the mindfulness you gain from solo travel, the social experience, personal growth, schedule benefits, safety considerations, and lastly, the group dynamics you will not miss and how to do it. How to do it the first time, repeatedly, and forever. All right, let's talk about the many pluses. And then I alluded to earlier the social experience. With the social part comes meeting new people, which is one of the sweetest parts of traveling in general, which is just meeting people without someone else's apprehensions. Vacations are when you let go your inhibitions. It's an opportunity to do what you like and the confidence it builds each time just from going out of your comfort zone, especially if you're an introvert. Plus, you are more likely to make more friends. I've made friends, either locals or fellow travelers, everywhere I've been. It's scary as hell, but it's an experience you'll always fondly remember. Meeting new people in other countries that become friends for life forces you to think, perhaps even talk a different language, maybe pull out an app so that you can talk that language. But it forces you to look outside the box as well as being more social with people that you just come in contact with. So here's where like the social experience really gets tested, because when you're alone, there's a willingness and an openness to trust your instinct and really interact with people, because you don't have a choice unless you just want to fly around the city by yourself, which is totally fine, but it's all about the social. I think you know, like attracts like. And when you're traveling, you will always meet or come across people doing the same thing and that are looking for that one-off companionship. Maybe you do something similar for one day out of your vacation, or maybe you're taking the same excursion. So lastly, I talk about being an introvert. I think everybody has the introvert in them, whether it's 10%, 30%, 60%, 80%. So the social experience to that person is that you can use this time to be social, but in your own unique way, and there's no pressure. I have a friend who is surprisingly, well, I always thought he was an extrovert, but he admitted to being an introvert recently. And he's traveled, the way he travels is he goes abroad for either 30, 60, or 90 days a pop. So he has no choice but to be social when he's away from home for that long. So he builds alliances, he builds friendships with either the people doing services for him, who then introduce him to somebody, and that's how he builds his network, especially if it's a location that he will revisit in the future. And so that's how he builds his social experience. So next we're going to talk about personal growth. And I mean, this is something you should aspire to in life, is growing, learning, and learning from your mistakes. So you can play it safe or take risks, but the knowledge you gain about yourself is so invaluable. And the best thing you could do when you solo travel is to plan every other day an itinerary. But your goal is to see the world. That's how you achieve personal growth. And there's no waiting on someone to go with you. And the next goal here is to get rid of that fear of being alone. Learn to enjoy your own company. You have to know how to love your own company and enjoy it all. It's going to feel like a dose of self-empowerment. And I say this because you can reconnect with yourself with no distractions. It challenges you to get out of your comfort zone. Traveling by yourself is so freeing, and I can't help but repeat that over and over. And traveling solo is the best thing every woman should do for themselves. Woman to woman, keep 100, the 100. The ups and downs of what we go through, traveling solo is therapy. It's an exhilarating experience that every woman should have at least once in their lifetime. Whether it's once a week, once a month, once a year, you'll learn so much about yourself as a person. And I feel like you're even clear-headed. If you went into that trip with a decision that needed to be made, clarity, if you wanted to remove or face any kind of ambiguity in your life, travel is the cure to that. Traveling solo is the cure. So when we talk about personal growth, traveling alone also allows me, it allows you to challenge what scares you. It dares yourself to do something new, spend time doing things that others might not like, going at your own pace. It allows you to mentally reset, align yourself to what is best for you. The net result is it increases your confidence and independence. This is a time to clear your mind, whether it's sitting on a long-haul flight with your own thoughts. You are on your own schedule. You do what you want to do, which is such an amazing feeling because we don't often get that chance to do it, whether it's for a weekend, a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months. You get to learn things about yourself that you never knew. And that's what I equate to personal growth. So mindfulness, to me, is part of the deal. Like, you have to have mindfulness when you travel. I mean, that minute you look at a landscape, the minute you step into the ocean, the minute someone is ready to give you a massage are all ways to achieve mindfulness. You will have that mental clarity you need by the end of your vacation. No doubt. If you don't, it's because you're around confusion, you're around drama in a group. And happiness is and will be your focus when you're traveling solo. Peace is priceless, people. You can come and go as you please, but in the end, you don't have to fear people complaining about being tired, wanting to go back to the room. The uninterrupted time with yourself, whether it's God, whether it's nature, is invaluable. Whether you do nothing, have plans, mix it up, you must know how to enjoy yourself and feel comfortable being alone. Some people don't know how to do that. And that's where the fear comes in, because they don't know how to be content. Mindfulness, from the beginning, the end, and when you come back home, you're going to have peace with your own agenda, no interruptions, sleeping in, an opportunity to reflect, restore, renew self, finding happiness in the blessings that you have awaiting for you once you return home, all of which leaves you grateful and thankful that you can release and heal and reset and go on with your life. One of the most fun parts of travel and using the Hotel Tonight app is discovering cool, new to you hotels. Using the Hotel Tonight app, you can tap the heart of a hotel profile and add it to your favorites list. This is what I love, because whenever that hotel becomes available or it's being offered at a discounted rate, it will send you a notification, especially for those 3-day weekends. Use the promo code NIBABEL to get $25 off your first booking. So you ask any solo traveler why they do it. It's because of freedom. And they'll tell you it's liberating. The freedom. No one has to tell you stories you don't want to be told. You're in charge of your own schedule. And you don't have to worry about pleasing anybody, which is key. Plus, you get to move on your own time. It means you don't have to worry about pleasing someone else. You don't have to count someone else's money. You don't have to pull out money out of your own wallet because their card isn't working or they ran out of cash that you told them to bring. Or you know what? They just didn't make it to the ATM before leaving the US. Like, who does that? Yes, people do that. And I've had it happen. But you can be in your own peace. The freedom to do what you want, whenever you want, and you don't have to consult with anybody. We do that enough when we're home. I just love the time to think and explore my own schedule. Plain and simple. That gives me freedom. All right, not all girls' trips are like the movie, right? There are some dynamics that you have to be open and admit can make or break friendships. Or you know what happens? You kind of look at someone a little differently when you get back home after traveling with them. And honestly, girls' trip can be a little too much estrogen at times. I mean, to be drama-free, everyone has to acknowledge that they have to have their own me time and cater to it. I enjoy my me time. And that freedom that I experience in my daily life when I'm not on vacation. So I'm not about to sacrifice the same experiences when I'm on vacation. I don't need to be herded around like I don't have my own interests or brain to figure out what I want to do. But I think the best part traveling solo opposed to being in a group is not having to negotiate with anyone or group. And I've been that group leader. I'm the one who makes sure others are happy at my own expense. And it was great, you know, especially when people enjoyed the itinerary. and activities, and where we ate. But this time, you don't have to compromise whether it's not with anyone's budget or their taste buds. And frankly, nobody is silently judging or criticizing either. I don't need anyone's approval when I'm traveling solo. I don't have to wait for an hour outfit change, 45 minutes to fix makeup, and hard feelings because they took too long and you left. You get to go wherever you desire without having to hear noise. People complain. So there's no negotiating on experience either. You just get to do everything. Everything you want to do and when you want to do it. The beauty of doing whatever you want without running it by a group is also liberating. And when I talked about freedom, this is another sense of freedom when you're traveling solo. Seeing and experiencing local stuff is essential for me. And I don't like tourist traps or chain restaurants that you can find all over the world. So being in a group who wants to do these things doesn't work well with me. So doing things I love without compromising my experience with friends is the trade-off. All right, are you with me? Are you still with me? Because next is a schedule. Plain and simple, there's no agenda. You do whatever you want. It's your agenda when you travel solo. You can really have a chance to take in every sight, conversation, experience, or memory without having to worry about compromising about a schedule with others. And essentially, it's an amazing time to truly reflect and explore your own desires. And it's going to come out. It's going to show. When you get pictures of your experiences, you're going to be like, yes, that worked like a charm. So I also look at it like in two ways. Not having a schedule and having a schedule. So when you don't have a schedule, it's being able just to wake up when you want or sleep in. Move at your own pace. Sleeping in late, if you want to cancel things, go ahead. Maybe you missed an activity on your schedule. So what? Just look forward to doing whatever you want, even if it's nothing. Next, being able to schedule your itinerary, a trip, and things to do on those trips how you like it. You do exactly what you want when you want. I can't say that enough because it's the truth. Without having to consider others. You don't have to worry about people making plans and canceling them. You could stay somewhere for as long as you want to without someone like tapping their shoe on the ground. I think being able to explore without being rushed gives me peace of mind too. Very relaxing. I think where I struggle is when I want to do something and others don't for many reasons. They just want a do-nothing vacation. But I don't think I can go anywhere for 5 to 7 days and do nothing 5 out of that 7 days. I have to have some level of an excursion, an activity. And it's disappointing when you're in the same place literally for 5 days without exploring outside that area. So I say this because you don't have to compromise your time when it comes to schedule. You don't have to debate which attractions you'll go to. You just go at your own pace. Being solo gives you freedom to do you. Being on your own time clock and doing what you want without others' influence. Picture this. Wake up at a sweet retreat with direct access to the beach. Airy, ocean-inspired rooms and direct access to miles of beach and boardwalk. Sounds like a perfect place for your next 3-day, doesn't it? Get on that. Try your first solo travel using Airbnb experiences at www.airbnb.com/C/NBABEL. N as in no, and then babe with an L. So lastly, it's all about how to do it. For those of you who I haven't convinced yet, I'm going to give you some actionable advice on how to put your money where your mouth is. Meaning, you want to travel solo, but you're afraid to be alone. So in this part of the episode, I'm going to share with you how to go about it. If you are uncomfortable, I encourage you to find a travel group, whether it's totally a woman's group of like-minded travelers, maybe with the same destination interest, maybe you all are first timers and want to experience or have the same experience the first time out of the gate. There are many clubs to join, whether they're Facebook groups, whether they're groups where people travel on a regular or just love to travel as a hobby. And ASW is a great resource, whether you're looking for locals or seasoned travelers to connect with online and in person. So, for example, this is how it works. You know you're going to New York. I know I don't do domestic, but I'm just throwing that out there. The same applies to London. Going to either city, they might have a network. They might have access to an event that you normally wouldn't have access to. They will share with you their top five lists of, let's say, coffee places. If you're looking for ambiance, they will give you restaurants with that particular level of ambiance. So ASW is high end. I would say middle to high end. So these are educated, seasoned travelers who pretty much walk the walk and talk the same talk as you do. So it's guaranteed that when they make a recommendation that it is a good one. So you'll meet some really interesting people. You'll meet a lot of amazing people, and you're going to be surprised at how much you have in common with complete strangers when you join any type of group, depending on your level. Next, Airbnb experiences. This is a no-brainer. These are made for solo travelers, and you'll see like spin-offs. Travel Advisor was probably the first when it comes to advising people on what to do, having forums where travelers or seasoned travelers share their tips, maybe make a recommendation, provide contacts. More recently, you have Airbnb experiences, which is tailor-made for solo travel. I mean, they offer experiences. So whether you're looking to cook local food, whether you're looking for a photography experience, whether you're looking for a rescue dog experience, they cater to different interests. So if you haven't checked it out, you should. It's available globally. I even have an experience, which I'll mention in the show notes. But again, that is another way to conquer your fear. Next, seek a career with travel. Reap the benefits of traveling on your employer's dime. That's how I did it. When I was in my 20s, I encourage you to do it because there's nothing like traveling, whether it's first class, business class, or just having access to travel benefits that you would normally not have, like the average person would not have. Another way to solo travel is take a trip where you're focused on an activity. Number one, it could be a mission. Number two, it could be maybe learning a new language as you're going to a language school. Maybe it's a social interest trip where you're benefiting children. That enables you to work in a group, meet new people, it gives a focus and allows you to make friends. Traveling solo is not as bad as you think. There are many travel apps around to help you get to your destination. And I mentioned Airbnb experiences. That's one. You could see a list of experience in that city. And it's affordable. It's not like you have to dish out hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Schedule a trip. Go on tours. Do excursions. You'll meet others and join them. If you do excursions, if you do them solo, you can easily meet people if you choose. If you feel like being alone, then you could have those moments too, but learn to appreciate your own company. Another way to travel solo is visit a resort. This is where it's easier for you to blend in and relax on the beach and just chill. This comes in handy when you're doing a quick vacation, like a 3 or 4 day. I encourage everybody to just start small with baby steps. Do something locally. maybe domestically, just to get your feet wet, a road trip, an overnight stay in a nice hotel. I use the Hotel Tonight app, so check that out. Check out my promo code in the show notes. But do something in your city by yourself. Go to the movies, go out to eat, a concert, then work your way up to maybe a city that you've not been too often and go by yourself. See how that feels. That's a good way to road test how much you appreciate your own company. Remember, trips, as much as I advocate going out of the country, I guess when I'm talking about this step and getting your feet wet, I don't want you spending a whole lot of money. So I would rather you do it locally and take those baby steps and make it happen. Another way to enjoy solo travel is to find a guided trip with a local. Those are easy to find. You know, I like having that one-on-one feeling the entire time where literally someone is showing you the local feels, the local eats, local shopping, places that you're not bound to find on your own. And then lastly, I think there's always been and will be, especially if you're a woman, a safety factor to consider. And some people will say it's the easy excuse for those who are solo travel virgins. So I encourage everybody to travel to vacation-friendly or tourist-friendly cities that locals and travelers will tell you if they consider their town safe. So that doesn't mean go into a war-torn area. That doesn't mean you want to go to a rural, isolated place with no signal. So it means cities like Cartagena. Every local to tell me this city is safe, safe, safe. You know, first you kind of look at them strange, like, But in fact, it is. Jamaica has a high crime rate, but if you're doing that resort type vacation, totally safe. If you're traveling to Toronto, totally safe. If you're traveling to Turks and Caicos, totally safe. So again, these are just my recommendations. I have many more, but I encourage you to just focus on that in the beginning. And if you're really worried about traveling alone, I suggest booking a room through Airbnb. And even though I'm pushing Airbnb, it's facts. You know, keeping it 100. That way you'll be connected with a local, usually willing to show you around, give you that cultural insight. And in some cases, you're going to be able to make nice with other travelers staying at the Airbnb also, or other Airbnbs. So I hope you have a better understanding of freedom. Sure, it's going to be lonely. It might feel lonely at times. You have to take your own selfies. But the bottom line is, you have the balls to stand alone. Traveling solo has allowed me to pick up and travel when my friends aren't around to do anything. And I'm not going to stop traveling just because someone else can't come. I think out of all the items I mentioned, the benefits, the best part about traveling alone is that you have a level of independence that you normally would not have traveling with others. And my favorite, absolute fave about traveling solo is that it gives me the time to really explore places the way that I want to do it. The way I want to really explore and learn about that location. Another awesome great thing about traveling solo is that you get to make new friends in the locations that you visit. I mean, I recently walked away with like 3 business cards and they're like, the next time you come back, you call me. I mean, that just makes you feel good. You can go alone and don't have to worry about people at the last minute that can't go or never have money except for what they want. Go see the world. See it while you can walk for miles or kilometers, when you're not sick, when you're healthy, young, and you could walk up a mountain. You could walk down the stairs. What are you waiting for? It's a life-changing experience. Just do it. The only thing you'll regret is not doing it sooner.